powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Pete Carroll spoke with reporters yesterday, was asked about Odell Beckham Jr. We already played you that sound. If I have some time, I'll get back to it in the end of the segment. But just said, like, look, you'll have to wait and see. Left it a little bit open-ended. So obviously, every Seahawks fan today, every NFL fan is on Odell watch. But let's get to the rest of these updates from the head coach. So we'll start with Chris Carson, who has been on the injured reserve. The team designated three players to return yesterday. None of them were Chris Carson. So will Chris Carson return to practice this week? What's the latest on him? Here's what Pete said.
What's Chris Carson's situation? You had said last week that he would meet with some docs on Monday and maybe get cleared, and we saw that he hasn't returned to practice.
Yeah, what I was told today is that Wednesday he'll be on the field. We'll see how that goes. One day at a time.
Jake, are you done? Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. Okay, we're good.
710sports.com/video. To see the mess that Jake just made.
You can't see it on the screen.
No, you can't see anything.
You can kind of see. Okay.
Don't you dare out me
okay.
Right now.
Okay.
There's
okay.
A strong scent of cup of noodles.
That's all I'll say.
Emanating from the studio.
That's
no,
all I'll
there's
say.
Not. No, there's not.
Jake, what's your optimism level that Chris Carson can return against Green Bay?
My confidence level is
you
that
can
he's
go
going,
medium, high, low.
No, I think that I feel very confident that he's going to return.
You think you are confident he's going to return against Green Bay?
That Aaron Rodgers will?
No, sorry. Did I say Aaron Rodgers? Chris Carson.
Oh, Chris Carson. Gotcha. Chris Carson.
I got distracted by the just sodium levels in this room right now.
Chris Carson, to me, is, I would say, low. I don't have a ton of confidence that Chris Carson is going to be able to practice Wednesday, and I am very doubtful that he will play. I would love to be proven wrong, and the reason why I'm kind of skeptical about this whole situation is that we've been told that Chris Carson was going to practice before, and he didn't. And then he got put on IR, and then he had the chance to take him off of IR coming off the bye week like you did with Russell Wilson, and that didn't happen. So to me, that's more evidence to me that Chris Carson is not going to be healthy and ready to go, unfortunately. But gosh, if you're talking about a situation where I'd love to be proven wrong here, I would love to be proven wrong about Chris Carson being available for this game against Green Bay because they could absolutely use him.
Now, what we know, just for kind of some context around Chris Carson and Pete saying he'd return to practice, last week, last Monday heading into the bye week, Pete was asked about Chris Carson, and he said, look, Chris wants to get back to practice next week. Chris plans on practicing next week, and he wants to get back. He'll need to be cleared first on Monday. So in my mind, if Chris Carson is going to practice Wednesday, it means he's been cleared or is in the process of being cleared, which at least to me means he's got a better shot of returning this season than it looked prior to him being cleared. So if he's out there on Wednesday, it will be because he was cleared on Monday. So I think that's going to be very telling whether or not he practices tomorrow, even if it's limited. All right, jumping to the next player here, the biggest name, Russell Wilson. I think we're all expecting him to return against Green Bay. So here's what Pete had to say about him.
This is a remarkable story of recovery, of a guy setting intent that he was going to do this and pull it off. And I mean, he's way, way ahead of schedule. And we just came off the practice field, and he threw the ball all over the place. So he did really well for the first time out in a limited amount of plays. I mean, everything about it, you know, we knew that Russ was going to go for it, and we didn't know if his body could respond, but it did. And his team that worked with him and helped him throughout did a remarkable job. So, you know, we'll just go one day at a time, see how it goes. And I know he's thrilled to be back. Everybody's excited to see him back out here. And
look, I'll say this. About 10-ish days ago, when the pin was not out of Russell Wilson's finger and Pete Carroll was like, I don't know when it's coming out, I was like, he's not coming back against Green Bay. This is not happening. He's not making it back. I don't even know if he's making it back against Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are looking at a very real possibility, in fact, a likely possibility that he starts.
He plays.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's going to play. Now, the unique aspect about this is that I guarantee you most other quarterbacks in this situation, I mean... hard-pressed to find one guy, but not many would be back in the time frame that Russell has made it.
How do you make it back so soon?
I just think the
Is
plan...
Is it adamantium?
I think that you got the best surgeon in the world at what he does in Dr. Shin with the hand, you know, being a hand specialist, and going out and getting the very best, going out and getting the very best in terms of your prehab work and everything that you're doing, and belief and positivity and all of it wrapped up into one, I think is a big reason why Russell Wilson is, and yeah, his health is a unique ability to heal quickly, but it's more than just that. It's the work that he puts in to get himself ahead of where everybody else is. And for a lot of people, when you look at normal recovery and time process, they look at it and they kind of go with the flow, meaning I'm going to go with the recommended doctor, or I'm going to go with the recommended timeline. I'm going to go with the recommended, you know, procedures that I should do, whereas I think Russell really pushes the envelope in a lot of those aspects, and really tries to find the most cutting edge, innovative ways to approach everything. So this is in line with his entire nature, and that to me is a big reason why you're seeing him back early and seeing him, you know, getting ready to prepare for Green Bay.
Unrelated to anything else Pete has said, but related to Pete, to Russell Wilson returning. Russell Wilson's obviously never missed time due to injury. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, not how his play will be affected per se, but what are some things he's going to have to face that he hasn't had to face before in his career? Because when I think about it, Jake, to give you my initial answer, I was talking to a student reporter yesterday who interviewed me and asked me the same question. And I was like, oh, I don't actually know. So I thought to myself, and my immediate reaction was like, well, I wonder if you just feel pressure differently because you're worried about staying out there and staying healthy. Because the one thing that you see that's a constant with guys like Carson Wentz that are constantly injured is they have a hard time bouncing back because you just feel pressure differently. You're worried about getting injured. You're more hesitant. Do you think we'll see any of that?
I would hope not. I mean, I can't guarantee that. I mean, I hope not. And I think for Russell and his mentality, I don't believe that that's what you will see. But I do believe that there's something to be said about getting him into a rhythm early. If you can establish a rhythm for Russell Wilson early in this game, all of those things, all of that feeling and that anxiety or that angst that he may have in the pocket, worried about that finger, I think immediately goes away. So if you're seeing Russell Wilson operate completion, moving the ball, and that offense moving early, I would say that a lot of that would go away very, very quickly. So I'm not dismissing that in the least bit, but I just, Russell's never really been that type of player, and so it would be very surprising to me. But also at the same time, it's something you're going to be cognizant of if you got somebody barreling down on you, and the way that you heard it before was throwing it and someone coming in your face. And so I believe he'll still throw it and approach it the same way he always has, but we'll have to wait and see on that.
Let's get to D. Eskridge. So Eskridge was injured, suffered a concussion in week one, has missed time, has been on the injured reserve, went to Florida to see a vision specialist for some lingering effects from that concussion, came back to the facility, presumably was better after that. Pete Carroll implied that there were no long-term complications. It was just a longer concussion where he had to see a specialist, but they're not like overly concerned heading into like his future as a Seahawk. So he had a good chance to return this week against Green Bay. So first, I'll tell you what Pete Carroll said about his return.
I can't tell you that right now.
Sorry, this is whether or not Eskridge will play on Sunday.
He looked good running around today. That's all I know. And let's see what he is tomorrow and the next day. These guys have been out a while. They've been working out hard, but they deserve some chance to get reacclimated to football. And I can't tell you how particularly with a new guy. You know, he has not played very much with us, and so let's see. He always does things well, though. He looks good. You know, he's explosive and fast and catches the ball and quick and shifty and all of that. So let's see what happens. And this was just a preliminary day's work, and so I can't take much away from that yet.
Pete Carroll not sounding confident he'll return, not wanting to commit to him returning, but it is overall good news, at least, that he got some work in. Now, I'm going to add on a twist to this before I throw it to you, Jake, which is ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, a friend of the show, he's talking about Odell Beckham Jr., and he says, well, part of the equation for Seattle is the return of Eskridge. The Seahawks envisioned the second-round pick bolstering the wide receiver group. Adding Odell Beckham Jr. could change the equation. The upside of paying Beckham is you get him for the rest of the season and potentially a good comp pick when he leaves in free agency. So Jeremy Fowler pointing to D. Eskridge as maybe a reason the Seahawks decide to pass on Beckham.
I just would be very surprised if that was the case. I mean, you're passing on Beckham, and I am just as excited about what D. Eskridge can be for this team as much as anybody, okay? So I'm not saying this as a downgrade on Deskridge, but Deskridge hasn't been really playing this year due to concussion and due to injury. And so Odell Beckham Jr. also is a very, very unique talent in terms of his ability to win one-on-one matchups, his ability to make contested catches, his ability to get open and as a route runner on third down. So I believe that they bring different strengths to the table. And that doesn't mean when OBJ is here that Deskridge doesn't have a legitimate role on this offense. And even so, maybe you see him because he's a guy that's, you know, fourth on the depth chart in that situation. Maybe you see Deskridge return punts more. Maybe you see him return kicks more in that situation to get the ball in his hands in a number of different ways. So I don't necessarily see this as hurting Deskridge. I think it makes the transition even easier, and you can still utilize Deskridge on the field in every aspect. I just think the volume of critical moments and critical catches, having DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and Odell Beckham Jr. on the field paired with Gerald Everett and other crews, I mean, that's an exciting proposition for you where you can legitimately put pressure on defense.
Nothing wrong with having too much of a good thing as long as it all fits. That's my opinion. If you genuinely feel that Odell Beckham Jr. makes your team better, then I see nothing wrong with having an additional wide receiver. Let's get to the non-injury updates. Pete Carroll asked about one of their biggest lingering problems, not just from last season, but from the first half of this year, which is third down. They struggled to get off the field on defense, though have improved there, and they've struggled to convert on offense on third down. So he was asked specifically, hey, Pete, have you looked over the first half of the tape? Did you find any consistencies there in terms of your failures on third down? This is what he said.
We've got to pick up our wins, and that comes from the quarterback, of course. Protection is a big deal. We got to find our guys that are going to make our plays in those situations. We need Tyler, we need DK, you know, we need Gerald, those guys to really help us, you know, convert too, and everybody work together. So it's an all-on effort. We've got some concepts that we're going to look at during this week in particular, and as we get started, and some ways we play our guys and all that. There's a lot going on, so we have to get better here to improve as a team. We need to stay on the field, and so that's the way to do it.
What do you hear?
What do I hear?
Yeah.
What I hear is a reevaluation of third down. So you've had the bye week, you're watching the film, you're breaking everything down, and you're seeing some of the issues that you're having. And he's not pointing to anything that is out of this world. I mean, the concept of getting your playmakers the ball on critical downs and situations, hello, right? And so Pete Carroll knows that. He's known that the entire time. But reevaluating, to me, how you get those guys involved. Are there concepts that they have not utilized that they should be? Are there certain things that are strengths of Tyler's and DK's and Gerald Everett and the rest of the group that, hey, if we do this and we call this play despite whatever coverage is being run on third down, we know how to execute it better than anybody. Mm. Or this particular player, it puts them in position to really shine. And that, to me, is the whole part of this equation that they have not done a good job of over the last couple of years on third down. And it's puzzling to me because it doesn't make any sense. You've got the talent, you've got the weapons to be able to do it. I think that having a legitimate third target has been a big problem for them on third down, but still finding the way to get DK and Tyler the ball on third down should not be as difficult as it has been for this group.
Well, the struggles have been consistent. It's like, yes, if there's one consistency to it, it's that you haven't been doing it effectively. All right, let's jump to four down territory.
This is four down territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with quarterback guru Jake Heaps.
Jake Heaps played in the NFL, played quarterback, was in the room with him, was in the fire. He's really a guru. He really played the game.
First down, Jake, time to finally look ahead. So what did the Seahawks have the chance to do this Sunday versus Green Bay?
Send a shockwave through the entire NFL. I believe that if the Seahawks go there with a healthy Aaron Rodgers to Green Bay and come out with a win, it will send a shockwave to the rest of the NFL that the Seattle Seahawks, although they're 3-5, and then they would be 4-5 at that point, are a team that still has a lot of juice and a lot of life left.
A bigger shockwave than Jacksonville beating Buffalo?
Well, here's the thing. That is a surprise. I don't think you look at Jacksonville and go, oh, wow, all of a sudden this team is...
It's not a statement.
No, it's not a statement for them. It's just a random, crazy game that you look at and say, the NFL's going to NFL. It's just any given Sunday. Whereas I believe what the Seattle Seahawks, if they win in Green Bay, it'll tell me a couple things. Number one, offensively, you're performing at a level that you've been hoping this offense has been capable of all season long. Number two, that your defense actually has turned a corner. That these past couple weeks, the past 4 weeks in particular, defensively with better performances week by week by week, have not just come against bad offenses, but that this defensive performance is here to stay and that this is a group that will help you in the second half of this season, not just against the Houston Texans of the world, but against really good caliber playoff teams. And now you have an opportunity to compete with the Arizona Cardinals and with the Rams. You might not be able to catch them, but those games are, you don't look at them as daunting, you know, matchups that, man, I just don't know how the Seahawks are going to win. You see the Seahawks as a real opportunity to catch fire in the second half of the season and get them in position to not only make the playoffs, but start asking yourself, what could they do when they get there? So that, to me, is what this game can be. It can be a statement game that can send a shockwave through the NFL.
Second down. Jake, my biggest regret from today is not making an Odell watch jingle. Let me just say that. Like, I fully regret it. Curtis, I'm sure that's your biggest accomplishment today, is making sure I don't do that.
Avoiding that. Yeah.
Jake, second down. How would Odell Beckham Jr. fit in here in Seattle? And secondary question, will he get in the way of Dee Eskridge?
I don't believe it will get in the way of Dee Eskridge. Dee Eskridge is going to be somebody that, as he's coming back from this concussion and being out an extended period of time and as a rookie, you're going to continue to soft pedal him in there. You're going to continue to limit the ask of what you're going to have him do in terms of the route tree and what you're going to ask him to do and how to contribute for this offense. And hopefully that grows and continues to grow as the season progresses. But I believe Odell Beckham Jr. would be a tremendous fit here in Seattle. You can't have too much of a good thing. When it comes to third down, when it comes to the red zone, when it comes to first and second down, and you have Odell Beckham Jr., Tyler Lockett, and DK Metcalf out on the field together, that creates legitimate problems for defenses. And I believe that you are not only helping your offense be more explosive, but I believe you're also helping DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett as well, that get a ton of attention.
Third down. Now let's go to UW here. After yesterday, what's your feeling about Jimmy Lake coaching the Huskies at all?
Honestly, at this point, I have serious doubts that Jimmy Lake is going to be the head coach, even coming off of this one-game suspension.
You don't think he's returning as head coach?
I have a hard time seeing it.
Why?
Because I just think, what do you have to accomplish in those final two games?
But then why suspend him for one game?
To buy you time.
Okay.
To buy you time and try and figure out how to go through this whole process. And
get a buyout
also,
figured out.
Yeah, and also the other part of it is, what does the buyout situation look like? And is there room to fire with cause? And maybe this buys you a little bit more time. I don't know. But to go in the final two games with a head coach that everybody knows is not just on the hot seat, but probably on his way out, I think that's a really tough proposition to put yourself in for the final two games of the season. Might be the way that they go about it, but don't be surprised if what I'm talking about ends up happening, you know, maybe next Monday, you know, when he's supposed to be coming back from that suspension.
Fourth down. All right, I've got a list here. What are three things? I need three things in the first half of the season that the Seahawks have to change in order to finish strong in the second half.
I will give you...
Would it be funny if Jake was like, I'll give you two.
I'll give you two. Three's asking too much. Number one, offensively, they have to be better on third down. Okay, that is number one. Number two, defensively, you have to start having a better and more consistent pass rush. And then number three also falls defensively. You have to start creating turnovers. If they can do those three things in the second half of the season, and they can be significantly better in those three phases, the Seattle Seahawks make the playoffs. The Seattle Seahawks are a team that everyone is talking about as, man, this might be the hottest team in the league. If they can do those three things, they are utilizing their talent to the best of their abilities. Guys are coming alive. The energy in that locker room is substantial. And you are, I would say, right now, their back's up against the wall and need a win all but two games to finish this thing out, probably, to get to the playoffs. I think they make that happen and probably win more than that.
All right. So two quick things here as we wrap up Four Down Territory. Thank you, Jake. From our own Mike Lefko, producer for Wyman and Bob in the afternoon. Aaron Rodgers is on Pat McAfee right now, talking about, obviously, the vaccination, COVID list stuff that he was talking about last time. Is it ill-advised to return to Pat McAfee? Probably, but he's doing it. Lefko says that Aaron Rodgers just admitted there is, quote, a small possibility that he doesn't play on Sunday against the Seahawks.
Oh, come on. That's Aaron Rodgers being coy.
Really?
I think so.
Can we even trust anything that Aaron Rodgers says?
It's not like if he's symptomatic, coy. The league will not let him play.
Correct. If he's symptomatic.
And you can't hide a if you have like a fever, you can't
right. And if
hide
he,
it.
But the other part is not only is he symptomatic, but if he continues to test positive, right? That's really more of the thing. It's not, does he test positive for it? And that is completely outside of his control from the aspect of, you know, where he is at currently. So that is always going to be a possibility. But I think that when you're talking about Aaron Rodgers and what he said in terms of his symptoms and it not being very, it not being dramatic in terms of the symptoms that he is feeling, then it makes me believe that there's more optimism towards him playing this Sunday. But, you know, hey, if he missed this game, I don't think any of us would be too upset about it.
Someone else texted in on the Mac and Jack's text line, hey, Jake and Debbie Downer. what do we need to know about the time that the waiver stuff goes through? So the waiver, your chance to claim has to be by the close of the league office. League office is closed 4 p.m. East Coast time. That's 1 p.m. this time. So anytime there's anything like the start of free agency, the start of or the deadline for franchise tags, anything like that is always 4 p.m. East Coast time. So it's always 1 p.m. here. There's a chance he slips through waivers. But again, I think we'll find out today whether or not that is the case. So Odell Watch continues.
Oh, we're not going to be on
Odell
the air.
Watch
we're
jingle
not going to be
event.
On the air for
I
this.
Know. So this is the thing, you guys. That's it for us today. It's a short one because it's time for Cougar Men's Hoops. Wazoo's taking on Alcorn State. Alcorn State.
That's Steve McNair's alma mater.
Yeah, it is.
I wanted to say Alcorn so bad.
Of course you
tip
did.
Off is at noon. Pre-game show is coming your way at 11:30 right here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
I'm
for
nervous,
Jake
guys.
Heaps. For Curtis Rogers, I'm Stacey Ross. Thank you so much for listening to Jake and Stacey. We will be back with you guys tomorrow. Until then, stay tuned right here. A couple minutes, you're going to hear the Cougar Men's Hoops pregame show.